Moncrief on News Talk.
There's a new Netflix documentary coming out on Wednesday about a man named Jonathan Meyer, who's believed to have fathered around 1,100 children. Josh Allett is director of The Man with 1,000 Kids. Good afternoon, Josh.
Afternoon. How are you?
Not too bad. So how did he start this particular career?
So he says that it all started because he just wanted to help people. And he started donating to sperm banks in the Netherlands. He's from Holland. And then he also started donating on apps that are a bit like dating apps, so like your Tinders or whatever, where you can actually meet your donor first, because actually through a sperm bank, you don't get to meet the sperm donor up until when the child's about 18 in a lot of countries. So parents use these apps because they want to meet the donor first, look them in the eye, check out if they're okay. So he started using these apps as well and meeting all these like hundreds of families in Holland. And he'd sit down with them, he'd look them in the eye, and he'd tell them all, I've got around 5 kids and I'm probably going to stop after you. Or, you know, I'm not going to go over the national limit of kids for a donor in Holland. So they went into this with great faith, thinking, oh, this donor's great. You know, he's good looking. He's got amazing long blonde hair. He's intelligent. He's articulate. He's musical. And he hasn't got that many children. I'm comfortable with that number. But unfortunately, about 5-6 years after they met him, they found out that there are actually hundreds and hundreds of other parents, possibly thousands, and they all found each other on the internet.
How did they find this out?
So kids started popping up in the same schools, and they'd look similar, and parents would see them and say, "Oh, our kids look similar. Oh, is your child from a donor? My child's from a donor as well." And then they put the pieces together and realized that they were speaking about the same man. And thought, that's funny. He told me he only had 3 other children. He was going to stop at 5. So there's been multiple instances where these kids are turning up, not realizing that they're related in the same areas, the same schools. Oh. And understandably, the parents are pretty terrified about that because they've got no idea how many there are, how many more there are. And they're really worried about these kids growing up, getting older, you know, especially in Holland, it's quite a small country. They're going to end up going to university. A lot of them are really intelligent, end up in the same year groups, might meet each other at a bar. And, you know, they're all going to have to ask people that they meet, are you from a sperm donor? Is your donor Jonathan Meyer? Because the chances, of them meeting, potentially falling in love, potentially having kids, it just gets bigger and bigger the more children that he has.
And legally, in Holland at least, what's the limit on sperm donations?
So there's a 12 family limit at the moment, right? So you're not meant to donate to more than 12 families, but that's only if you go through a sperm bank. So sperm banks are meant to keep track of the amount of families that they give sperm to stop this potential accidental incest issue. However, none of the sperm banks are joined up. There's no database, anything like that, at least the time that Jonathan was operating. So the sperm banks in Holland started to speak to each other, and then they suddenly realized, oh my God, this guy's got hundreds of children just through the sperm banks because he's been going to every single one. So he was banned from about 11 in Holland, and he told each one that he'd be exclusive with them. So there's a kind of regulation around, you know, around 12 families. But if he's donating privately, you know, meeting parents on these apps, going to their houses, jerking himself off in the bathroom, tends to be how it works, giving them a pot of his sperm. You know, how are you going to regulate that? How are you going to control that? And it's this landscape that he's managed to be so prolific in.
Yeah. Now, and it's not just Holland we're talking about. He kind of spread his operation internationally as well.
Yeah, he's gone global. So he's got a YouTube channel. You can see on his channel him traveling all over the world. And the parents that he was donating to at the time just thought he was like a vlogger or an influencer. He wasn't talking about sperm donation at all, but they soon started to realize, because new mothers kept popping up in all these countries, that he was going to all these places to donate. So, yeah, he's got kids all over the world. And also he's been donating to a big international sperm bank, at least one that we know about, which actually ships his sperm for him to all these other countries around the world as well. So he's kind of using the system to carry on procreating on a mass scale globally as well.
So, and even though, you know, you've called it maybe to be on the conservative side, the man with 1,000 children, it's not really known how many children he might have.
We don't know. I mean, currently he's admitting to 600, which, you know, his numbers, obviously he said he only had five initially. It keeps going up and up the more evidence that builds. So that's his current figure at the minute. He said that doesn't include the kids from this international sperm bank that ships his sperm all over the world. We believe, you know, he may have been to other sperm banks as well. He's posted about going to sperm banks in Ukraine on social media. He's posted about going, you know, he's been in Kenya at the time. A lot of other mass donors were donating in sperm banks there. So he probably doesn't know himself, and he might not ever know until these kids' DNA tests, sort of 16 years, 18 years from now, come looking for him.
And now there was a court case. Was this in Holland the court case took place?
Yeah, exactly. There was a court case against him last year in The Hague. It was a civil court in The Hague. And they actually put an injunction on him, and he's got to pay a 100,000 euro fine for any new child that he bears. So through sperm donations. So, you know, that's a kind of landmark case. Nothing like that's ever been done before, but nothing like this has ever really happened before. So that was a group of 50 parents coming together saying, look, enough is enough. This has got to stop. We know that you're carrying on. We need to find a way to stop this, because the laws just aren't really in place at the moment to regulate the fertility industry. So they had to sort of take matters into their own hands, and they got a sort of stunning victory in the courts.
Yeah. Now, you did make many attempts. Now, you did get to speak to him, as I understand, but you made many attempts to get him to take part in the documentary. How was his reaction whenever you approached him?
Well, I mean, it's obviously it's quite an awkward conversation sitting down with someone over lunch and telling them that you're making a three-part documentary series about them for Netflix. I think he was aware that, because we had the space and time to really look into his actions and analyze them and look at his behavior, I think he knew that it wasn't going to look great for him. So he was quite worried and tried to put sort of parents off taking part in the documentary. And I, you know, he says that there are parents out there that don't care what he's been doing and are actually like totally happy with his actions. And I was asking him to put me in touch with some of these parents, you know, if he didn't want to take part, to at least sort of give his side of it, or, you know, the positive side of what he's doing. But he couldn't present anyone, and we didn't speak to anyone who felt like that as well. So, it would have been great if he'd taken part and been able to answer some for his actions. But he's, you know, he's been proven in court to be a liar. So I'm not sure we'd have got a very straight answer. Love to know why he lied to all these people.
He did go on. I think one time was at Woman's Hour and kind of tried to defend himself.
Did. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So he went on Woman's Hour, but he still couldn't answer the question, why did you lie? Why did he lie to all these parents? Why did you lie to all these sperm banks? And why are you doing this? You know, all he can say is, oh, I was just trying to help people and got a bit carried away. It's like understatement of the century.
But how many years was he doing this for?
I think it's around at least 15 years. He's only 41. And that's why the parents, you know, really fought for this court ruling, because they know that he's got decades, possibly more, donating left in him. And it's all really he's ever known. You know, it's been the most regular thing in his life, as far as we know. So, there's sort of genuine fear that he was just going to keep on going at this rate.
Yeah. What was he making money out of it? How was he making a living?
So it's hard to know. As far as we know, he hasn't held down a steady job since he really got into donating sperm. He does get expenses from families and sperm banks for donating. So, we're not talking like big money. It's probably like 50 euros to 200 euros per donation. So he may have been able to turn that into a lifestyle. Like the amount he was donating, the efficiency of what he was doing. As it, you know, he may have been able to turn that into like a modest living. As far as we can tell, it's not a kind of financial, there's not like a real financial sort of component to his motivation. It's actually probably something sort of more mysterious and possibly sinister.
Yeah. The families that you spoke to, did they have any theories as to why he was doing this?
So it's interesting. And actually, when I met him, I asked him as well. And he said that he gets this amazing feeling, like every time that a donor child is born. And we know that he asks parents for pictures of the kids when they're born. And I don't know, what I can deduce is that he possibly has become addicted to this feeling of, you know, perhaps he sees something, you know, reflected back of himself, this kind of like primal urge of procreation, or so, you know, that feeling might have become addictive. He gets a lot of sort of validation compliments off the parents because they love their kids more than anything. And just a side thing, the kids are all lovely and amazing. I've met loads and loads of them. They're such, you know, they're such brilliant kids. So he's probably getting lots and lots of compliments the whole time. He's very desired. You know, it might just be that he's found this as his kind of purpose in life, but sadly he's put his sort of desire to keep doing it above, you know, being honest to these parents, because, you know, very few of them would have chosen him if they'd known the truth about the number of children.
Yeah. Is he in Holland now, or do you know, what he's doing now?
Believe that he's in Holland. He's a vlogger, so he's still posting on his YouTube. He's been traveling. He's recently just got back from Tanzania and Kenya. So yeah, I'm not sure what he's up to now, but he's saying that he's stopped donating sperm. But part of the court ruling was that families that have already got a child using his sperm are allowed to try for a second, third, fourth, etc., with using him again as the donor, just to make sure, you know, so in case they want their kids to be, you know, 100% related. So he's allowed to continue to donating. And yeah, he said the other day, I think he donated very recently, and there was, yeah, someone who'd already had a child is pregnant with another one.
Oh my word, Zoe, still at it. Josh, thank you very much. That's such a grim and bizarre and fascinating story. It's called The Man with 1,000 Kids. It drops on Netflix on Wednesday. You were just listening to Josh Allett there, the director of it.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.